Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Number one for breaking news for Vernon, Farmington, and South Windsor. The Talk of Connecticut. AM 1360 and FM 103.3.
We've talked many a times on this show about Title IX, a federal law that guarantees rights for women athletes in high school and college. And there's a new proposal by the Biden administration that would actually take effect just in a couple of weeks. That would be August 1st. That's 2 weeks from today, if I'm not mistaken. It would allow boys to officially now play in girls' sports. No questions, no, well, there's this. Nope, nope. It'd be a blanket law. There'll be no way of any local high school or public college that could prevent a transgender from participating in sports or including taking scholarships away and potentially hurting overmatched girls. In fact, 14 states, through their attorney general, have gotten the regulation stopped temporarily. But our attorney general here in Connecticut, William Tong, is all for this new rule, which Tong will be joining us a little bit later on this morning in the 9 o'clock hour, live in the studio, and he'll be with us for the full hour. You'll even have an opportunity to call in when we go to open phones at the bottom half to ask him anything you'd like. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 7-Eleven here on this Friday Eve. Glad to have you on board the old morning train. Our first guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair. Well, I've known him for a number of years because I've known him up at the Capitol when he was with the Senate Republicans. But he's also the former chairman of the our state Republican Party. And he also ran Dole's campaign. Remember Bob Dole? Remember he ran for president in the mid-90s. He ran his campaign here in Connecticut. He's now with the Catholic Conference, the Connecticut Catholic Conference. Let's welcome back to the show Chris Healy. Chris, nice to see you.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for dating me, too. It's back when we had rotary phones and, mimeograph machines.
So. Well, but that just shows your tenure in the end. It validates you.
Shows you what a complete has-been I am, but thank you.
Stop that. You're just as relevant today. You've had some pretty pretty elite and prestigious titles, though.
I know. Chairman of the party, and you were
Bob Dole's campaign.
I've got the complete list of, again, it has been attributes, so that's okay. Collecting titles. Well, as you know, being in the legislature, that's the gold standard of titles. You know, House Tempor, Minority Leader at Large,
right.
Excelsius, you know. I can't even compare to those. So.
Well.
What did they make you? Did they make you an assistant minority leader at large tempor or an assistant majority?
Me?
Yeah. Did they give you one of those titles?
I was a ranking member.
Oh, I know that. Okay.
Yeah,
you didn't get one of those leadership tests.
No, that's too bad.
That would have been nice.
Actually, there was
I'll put that on your license plate. Right?
I remember talking with Themis Claridis a long. This is back when we were both in office when she was the leader, because they used to razz me a little bit and find broadcasts, radio, television, whatever, on YouTube, and they'd put it up sometimes on the overhead projector. Like we'd go in and caucus one something, and they'd be like, "All right, so we're going to be talking about this." Wait a minute, that's not what those are. So you look up at the screen. There's all these different bullet points. This is what we're going to, we're caucusing this, and there'd be some interview that I've conducted with somebody on television, and it's like, "Hey, there's Representative," and they find some old broadcast of me on a WCCC in the 90s.
Your hair is still dark, so there's no difference now. So when they can't say, look how handsome he was. He had dark. Look, you still got dark hair. You're still handsome.
Look at it that way.
You preserve well.
My new best friend over here, Bajiji. What's wrong with you here? What are you doing?
Yeah,
hey, really
right.
quickly, I want to get into Title IX. Just take 60 seconds or 120 seconds. You know a little bit about Secret Service. Just give me a quick synopsis on your take.
We were talking just offline. I was privileged enough to do a couple of one presidential visit with Bob Dole in '96 here in Hartford, actually, and another when President George W. Bush did a fundraiser in Kent at Henry Kissinger's house for Dave Capiello. So I've worked with Secret Service and been in these meetings, and I will tell you, Secret Service runs this show. Did run this show from the minute the candidate lands and before at the airport to the location and back. They, within a mile radius, they're in control of everything. They task people specifically.
So when you see what went on, I mean.
Look, again, I'm not an expert in these things, but common sense says, they did not assign the people. They did not have the the Secret Service agents on the ground working with the locals on those sites to make sure everything was hooked up. It's unclear whether they even had proper communications with everybody. It's just a colossal failure. Yeah. And it's, again, as I said, this is not your father's Secret Service. It's troubling for anyone that has Secret Service protection. Forget, and again, the other one I want to say is, especially the U.S. Supreme Court justices now, who most of them are living, mostly the conservatives, are living hostages in their homes with these lunatics that are hanging around. You know, a guy got within a block of Kavanaugh with an armed weapon. He was closer to Kavanaugh than this shooter was to Trump. So, you know, this needs to be dealt with.
It's also not your father's Democrat Party. Well, let's talk about Title IX.
Right.
All right. So this is serious business.
The synopsis you gave is essential, and the public can do something about it. If nothing's done within 2 weeks, every boy who decides they identify as a girl can now participate in women's sports and enjoy all the federal protections to get scholastic opportunities and to participate in sports that boys have. So if you have a boys soccer team, you have a girls soccer team, all these things. It is we in the Catholic faith believe, you know, men and women are created by God. They're boys or girls. We are certainly incredibly concerned and compassionate for people with gender dysphoria. They need help. They need assistance. When they need our prayers, they need to work through this with their parents. Unfortunately, our policies here in Connecticut are against that. Our policies try to keep parents in the dark about children and their issues in schools. That's a public. It's a state. It's not a mandated policy, but it's guidance. So we have situations in school districts where they have two sets of records. They have their original gender record, and then the school sets up an alternative gender record. Parents can't see that in many cases. Parents aren't informed. These are very serious issues. The people that want to promote this, including, unfortunately, Attorney General Tong and many Democrats, the Lamont administration, seem to say that, oh, well, we need to protect trans children. We believe that. Yes, we do need to protect trans children. That's different than taking the rights away of young women by allowing boys to play in sports.
Chris, many people would say this already exists. I mean, this look what happened to Riley Gaines. There's already people here, kids in Connecticut.
Right, it does. It does, and it should stop. And we try to propose legislation to do that. Unfortunately, the Democratic leadership did not allow us to even have a bill to be heard, because we know that if a bill is heard and debated, we would prevail if you have to make a state policy. Lots of states, 24 states, have state policies that say, for purposes of scholastic sports, they are assigned to the gender of natural origin. Okay? Simple. Boys plays with boys, girls play with girls. It's worked for time immemorial because it should. Sadly, this federal law now will prevent any local board of education from doing what they're elected to do, which is to say, this is the way we want our schools to be run and believe these things. Because if they disobey this law, they would lose federal funding. They could be subject to sanctions by the Department of Justice. And we all know how the Biden Department uses the Department of Justice for this radical transgender agenda. And it's, you know, people need to call Attorney General Tong. He can stop this from being a law in Connecticut. As you said, 14 other attorney generals have done so. There's clear legal precedent for it. Final real kind of technical point. The U.S. Supreme Court has found that federal agencies cannot issue regulations unless there's a congressional bill signed into law by the president that promulgates it. You know this from being in the legislature. You pass bills in the legislature. They go to a committee called Regulations Review.
Yep.
And they issue regulations to implement that. Simple separation of power, separation of branches of government. And so this Title IX is a perfect example of how that fits into this decision by the Supreme Court. And we believe ultimately, when it goes to court, it'll be overturned, or if there's an election and things change, that's another way to go about it.
All right, but again, if someone's listening to this, they can easily say, and I'm going to piggyback on something I just brought up to you a moment ago, this has already been happening. So what's August 1st going to change?
It puts the imprimatur of the federal government on it, and it takes the state off the hook. It takes the state off the hook because they say, well, the federal government says you got to do it.
Okay,
that's the power, the abusive power of the executive, and it would be that way if it was Republican or Democrat. You know, executive orders are generally bad, but this was a regulatory order that just came out of the U.S. Department of Education, sadly by the Secretary of Education, who is our Commissioner of Education. So there's an agenda here. We believe in the Catholic faith that we need to be mindful and loving of all children, whatever their issues are. We can work on that together. But that doesn't give that doesn't promote someone's rights over another person's rights.
And what this does ultimately is it robs biological women, girls, females.
Already has.
From scholarships. From records that have been longstanding. I mean, they're going to be broken that, you know, so on and so on. Some woman from, or girl, college, high school, back in the 60s, set this record. Well, that'll be broken.
Listen, I'm a marginal basketball player. If I got to play against women all day, I would be LeBron James, okay? I mean, that'd be great. Okay, super. You know, I mean, but no, not to make light of it, but it's disturbing that, again, in this era of moral, you know, we need moral clarity. You know, we need moral clarity, and this is a perfect example of that, as well as just the practical absurdity of allowing boys to play with their physical advantages. It's going to put women physically at danger. We've already seen incidents where girls have been hurt tremendously in sports, basketball, soccer, field hockey, contact sports, volleyball. I mean, you know, people have been focused on it because it's been non-contact sports, primarily track, swimming. But it doesn't make it any less unfair, the Riley, you know, the Riley Gaines.
There's something that listeners can do. First of all, it's a federal. This is from the Biden administration.
Right.
And the state legislature is out right now.
But the state attorney general, Tong, has the ability on behalf of the people of Connecticut. He is the civil attorney, and he can go to court, as other state attorney generals have done, and motion the court to say, stay this issue. This belongs, again, in the purview of the Congress first. The Congress wants to pass this law. That's what we elect congressmen to do, and then the executive implements it. Here, the executive is trying to implement a law they're creating. That's unconstitutional. The U.S. Supreme Court has just found that to be unconstitutional. They're moving ahead with it because it's a political agenda. But, you know, we in the Catholic faith and other faiths, and you know, when parents hear about this, if you have a daughter, a granddaughter, you should be concerned about this. You should be asking these questions of your state legislators in general and your congressmen and your U.S. senators to say, you know, how do you feel about this? And they're all dodging it. They're all laying low. They're all doing it because it's a way to placate a certain element of the Democratic constituency.
But I understand. I'm trying to understand Tong here as well. I mean, if municipalities don't abide by this, they will not receive their federal funding. So, of course, they're going to comply.
Correct.
Because they want that money.
It's the abusive power, and you talk about it all the time on your show.
I do.
The federal power to crush individual rights. And I think if you listen to President Trump, he talks about this a lot, saying, you know, we're not going to let boys, you know, take advantage of girls. I mean, it's not just playing. It's using their locker rooms, using their bathrooms, all this stuff. It's just... it's heinous. I mean, it really is. It's just heinous.
And well, it opens up a can of worms here, too. I mean,
well, it's
anybody
already,
could say they're transgender and start snapping, become a voyeur really quickly on your daughter while she's in a locker room or a changing room at a gym or wherever. And I see nothing good that will come out of this. I got to take a break here. When we come back, I mean, we can talk about this, but I want to briefly at least talk about this, about abortion really quick with you. Okay. More with Chris Healy right after this.
Yankee Peddler and Pawn in East Hartford is Connecticut's premier pawn shop, paying you top dollar whether you're pawning or selling your items. It also has the tools needed for summer do-it-yourself projects. Everything from lawnmowers, string trimmers, blowers, and chainsaws, all at discount prices. Short on cash? With gold reaching all-time highs, now is a great time to sell unwanted and broken gold. Go see Joe at Yankee Peddler and Pawn at 7 Pitkin Street in East Hartford and tell him Gary sent you. When shopping for appliances, Ferraris will be the only stop you'll need to make. Summer's here, and it's time to get your new grill or air conditioner. Ferraris Appliance has all the big-name brands, including Weber and Napoleon Grills, at the price you can afford. And they install and service everything they sell. Enough with the pushy salespeople and impersonal customer service at those big box stores. Head to Ferraris Appliance in Newington or Naugatuck and discover why people from all over choose them over everyone else. Online at FerrarisAppliance.com.
A smarter way to start the day. Gary Byron and the Talk of Connecticut. Listen without a subscription on the Talk of Connecticut free listening app.
24 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, our guest is Chris Healy from the Connecticut Catholic Conference. Before I go into abortion, I mean, what about girls who are and have been taking testosterone?
Well, you know, studies show that even when you do, and these things, again, I think are heinous, puberty blockers, mutilation, surgeries, all this stuff, it doesn't completely obliterate the physical advantages that a boy's body, a boy has physically over a woman. It just doesn't. It's proven that. And again, this is an absurdity. You know, when you think about it, you talk to regular people and you run them through it, they say that's crazy. And how could that happen? Well, it happens when good people don't do things. You know, it's as you know, Gary, you've been in the business, all it takes is a few phone calls to a legislator or a congressman to get their attention. And people know who their congressmen and legislators are. And you just say, listen, do you support allowing young men and young and boys or men to be able to play girls' sports? And tell me why you think that's a good idea. How do you tell me why you think that's fair? And you can, you know, I'm not taking issue at anyone who's over 18. If you're over 18, you make those decisions. But I do have a problem with children being, you know, abused, children with real issues, not getting the care they need, and then, you know, being empowered to take rights away from young women and girls.
Okay. There are some abortion people right now that are trying to end, you know, I guess there's some changes in the public health laws through regulations review that you mentioned a moment ago.
Yeah.
And if you believe it, they actually want to remove a person's religious exemption for healthcare workers who refuse to perform abortions.
Correct.
And they didn't get a hearing this past session?
No, they...
Oh, did they?
No, what happened was they had a press conference saying that we have to remove what is a constitutional right, a religious exemption that people enjoy to not do things that are against their religious beliefs. So that means that if you have in a Catholic hospital or you have any kind of medical situation where a nurse, a doctor, an anesthetist, whoever's involved in an abortion procedure refuses to perform that or participate in that abortion, they can claim rightfully that they have a religious objection to that. And they are protected. Their jobs are protected from retribution by management. What the abortion extremists have managed to do is to have a legislative regulation introduced that's coming up Tuesday that would remove that exemption just by a stroke of a pen. There is no legislation to support this. They tried to promote legislation to support this last year. They failed. They didn't get a hearing. They didn't get a vote. Again, this is similar to Title IX. They're creating regulations out of whole cloth. There's also another one that they're taking out, which would, under the law, compel medical doctors in the event of an abortion that, thankfully, is not successful. The baby lives. The law now requires them to take every effort to save that life. That is being removed as well. So this gets back to the old let the baby die on the operating table. I mean, that's just grotesque, and I'm not even going to use the word I want to use, but you can figure it out.
And there's other provisions that would allow for partial birth abortion as well.
Partial birth and basically infanticide. And again, if this was a legislation introduced, properly debated, properly voted, signed by the governor, it would be before regular, that would be appropriate. This is not appropriate. This is both a total abrogation of the process. And, you know, people need to understand that on Tuesday, Regulations Review, which is a committee, luckily.
Next week, Tuesday.
Yeah. Evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats are going to bring it up. Now, we've communicated to them. We are hopeful that they will see from both a process. It's not properly before, aside from the fact that what it intends to do is grotesque and extreme and murder, that we need to dial it back and reject that regulation.
All right, we have less than a minute left. I'll give it all to you.
Well, I mean, again, you know, it's time to, you know, as we said before, with everything that's been going on, it's even more time for people to think and be collectively thoughtful, to pray for the country, to pray, to spend more time, whether you're go to church or not, you know, think about the future that holds. Take an active part in the process. Sometimes it's a phone call or an email. You can go to ctcatholic.org or go to Connecticut Family Institute as well and get information, sign petitions, and take action.
Just as important is, if you can't attend that meeting on Tuesday, you know, hopefully you can. Maybe you can write some testimony. And contact William Tong.
South Windsor, the talk of Connecticut. FM 1360 and FM 103.3.
Chris Healy, the Catholic Conference. Thanks
you like doing that to me, don't you?
I'd say call right now.
I know I don't.
Yeah,
I really
don't
I feel bad.
Because that's not the first time you've ever done it.
No, it's definitely not. And I do smile when it happens, and I don't mean to, because it's not funny.
Yeah, it's not just a smile. It's a smirk.
It is a smirk.
What I'm talking about is in the 8 o'clock hour, just, you know, not every day, but today, I'm eating a bagel. I say I put one aside. Yes, yesterday was Bagel Wednesday.
Yep.
I put an extra one aside for today. I go nuke it to soften it up, and it's fine. And I try to wolf it down in the 10 minutes or 9 minutes that I have. Of course, there's other things I've got to do as well. So I take my, you know, I take a bite, and then he throws in this, you know. Oh, and I'm like, I can't talk right now. Thank you.
The look on your face when that thing comes on, because it's 15 seconds, and that's obviously not enough time to chew and
I should know by now. That's all right, because you know what? You know, payback. You know what they say. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 8:11 here on this Friday Eve, and I'm delighted to have you on board with us this morning. Let's see here. Our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair joins us every other Thursday. He's also the Senate Republican leader. And right now, he is live in Milwaukee. Did you just hang up on him?
I did not. As I started to pot him up, I could hear he's disconnected. So give him a second to call
back. He's calling back right now. What in the world? That's our phone system. Let's welcome back to the show Senate Republican leader Steve Harding. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you, my friend?
Oh, hey, I am ducky this morning. How are you over in Milwaukee?
Doing well. This is it's been quite an experience, and I got to say it's exciting.
You're in the epicenter. You really are. You are in the epicenter of the Republican scene right now. I know that you're a delegate. But kind of go into what's the vibe there right now?
It's really positive. You know, I can't remember an election cycle in which there wasn't more positivity within the party. And you know, to your point, it's the epicenter right here in Milwaukee right now. And it seems like anyone that I speak with has just a such a positive outlook in terms of this election for Republicans, not only at the top of the ticket with President Trump and Vice President nominee Vance, but across the board for Republicans, whether it be Congress, all the state House seats and state Senate seats, and it's not only in Connecticut, but you know, the delegates you speak with all across the country. Feel that we have a real opportunity as a party to make significant advances here. And, you know, you see what, you know, frankly, the Democratic Party is pushing in terms of what their narrative is for this campaign and what the Republican Party has discussed and advocated in Milwaukee this week. And it's just, in comparison, it's such a positive message. It's let's restore these important principles that all of us as Americans believe in, frankly, and let's restore us to prosperity. Let's strengthen our military. Let's protect our families and support our law enforcement and promote public safety. Let's grow our economy. Advance our efforts economically, keeping manufacturing jobs here in America. I mean, these are all basic common sense principles. They're all positive. They're embraced by the far majority of Americans, Republican and unaffiliated Democrat. And it's a resounding message. It's a positive message. It's exciting, and you're feeling it. It's the atmosphere is really you can tell
the sentiment that we're getting is the word unite. Or
yeah.
Do you feel the Republican Party is uniting, or is that just a word without anything to substantiate it? Describe any uniting sentiment that you witness with your own eyes in Milwaukee.
It, I think that, you know, I've never seen, you know, on a national level, you know, since I've been involved, which you know, it hasn't been forever. I can't say for a generation, right? But for a decade now, being involved in politics and Republican politics, I've never seen the party so united as it is right now.
All right. To that point, there was a time, particularly in Connecticut, where if you were running for state representative, like you and I did, or state senate, or Congress here in Connecticut, having Trump at the top of the ticket was poison. You know, it was, well, good luck. And the Democrats knew that, and they took that ball and they ran with it. They knew that having a name that was so controversial as Trump at the top of our ticket was, you know, could be detrimental to the under ticket. Do you still get a sense of that, or are the tables been turned? In other words, does Trump now go from a poisonous name on the ticket to a name that is cherished and will actually help the under ticket?
Well, I think that, you know, what I keep on pointing back to is there's two election cycles recently, the past two, which was 2020, which was not good for Republicans in Connecticut. We lost significant seats in the House and seats in the Senate. And there was 2016. And, you know, for yourself, who was actually, you know, who's part of that, and myself as well, and many of your listeners who are active politically and helped to work many Republicans get elected on a local level. We all look back at 2016, and that was the year in which we tied in the Senate 18-18.
Yep.
And we came within a very close margin of gaining the majority in the House as well, all at the same time. That was a presidential year with President Trump on the top of the ballot. And all I keep telling people when they ask this question is I have no reason to believe, zero reason to believe, that this year is not going to be much more like, I have zero reason to believe it's going to be like 2020. I have every reason to believe it's going to be a lot more like 2016. And if it is, it's going to be good for the Republican Party and, frankly, good for the state of Connecticut.
A big word for Republicans right now is united, okay? But has the big tent returned for the Republican Party? God knows. We need every Republican to vote. We need to feel, I guess, you know what we need to do? We need to attract unaffiliated. We need independents, as well as, let's face it, as well as some moderate and even conservative Democrats. And if we're really going to take, make a splash here this year in our state legislature.
Yeah, well, absolutely, and I think that, you know, you're seeing that on a local level. If you speak with state rep and state senate candidates and incumbents, which you do on a regular basis, you can see that their message is very much crafted towards the local issues they're going to be addressing as state reps or state senators in Hartford, and you could see their dedication to the parochial issues that are important to their communities, and that's what ultimately wins you these elections. As you know well, yourself winning an elections with that type of message and focus. And so I think, you know, generally our candidates have a really strong message because what I always tell folks in terms of what does the Connecticut Republican Party stand for, particularly as it relates to what we vote on in Hartford, is common sense. Because what the majority in Hartford advocate for is antithetical to common sense. And if you want to talk about a message that is resounding, that is embraced by moderate Dems and unaffiliated voters and obviously Republicans, it is a message of common sense. Mm-hmm. I think even the president in recent weeks has referenced that the Republican Party has now become the party of common sense.
What are your what are your days and nights? You're a delegate. Describe. What are your What are your days and nights like as a delegate? And I know that you've done several TV interviews and newspaper interviews, but I'm just curious because it's not an experience that the average person will have, you know?
Yeah, it's And for any of your listeners that are, would ever be interested in coming, I would say that you should try to experience it once. It's an amazing experience. And walking around the floor of the convention, I mean, you're inches away from Senator Cruz or Senator Rubio, or they're walking the floor amongst you, which is a kind of a surreal experience if you have never had an experience like that.
Are they surrounded constantly because of their quasi celebrities? I mean, no, they're not real.
Yeah, no, they come with an entourage. Yeah. I mean, you can kind of spot when it becomes obvious. When there's a big name politician coming through, because you see all these people surrounding them, moving very quickly, and then kind of like this kind of flow of people like moving in one particular direction, and then usually what I've noticed over the past couple of days is inevitably in the middle of that big crowd of people is Senator Rubio or Senator Cruz or Senator Scott.
Did you meet any of them? Who's the most famous person that you've met?
I've met a handful of them. I met Senator Rubio and I met Senator Cruz. And then you also have the media personalities too. So, Britt Hume last night was just standing outside the convention arena and I had an opportunity to talk with him, quickly. And, I guess for Republican politics, it's our Comic-Con. And on top of that, it's an inspiring message. You're doing something to help your country. You're speaking with like-minded individuals about how to move forward as a nation. And again, to the beginning of your point, there is a strong level of unification here that I've really never seen before.
You know what I've noticed?
It's exciting.
We're seeing that the Republican bench is deep and talented and actually pretty young, And Steve, look, I remember when you came in. You came in a special election shortly after my class came in. You're pretty young yourself. You're in your mid-30s, right? And you now lead the Connecticut Senate Republicans. Talk about that shift. I only got about a minute before the break, and then we'll come back, and I want to talk about J.D. Vance and Trump. But talk about this shift to the youth.
I think that, the youth in my age bracket care about the future of this country. And because we have young families and we want to see our children grow up in the same great nation that we grew up in. And I think that resoundingly you're starting to see that age group move towards the Republican Party because the Republican Party, frankly, has a much better message and a platform for the future of our nation and for those that are proud of their nation and want a better country for their children. And I think that's the significant reason why you've seen such a movement. A youth movement, I would say, in the Republican Party.
Makes sense. All right, I got to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you a little bit about last night, about J.D. Vance, and what you anticipate tonight from Donald Trump. More with our Senate Republican leader, Steve Harding, right after this. Hey, it's Gary Byron. Join me this Saturday morning at 11 o'clock for the Catholic Cemetery Show. And don't forget to send any questions you have to ccawdrc@gmail.com. Hi, it's Gary Byron. Listen Saturday mornings at 7:30 for Haddon Insurance Solutions with Sean Haddon. More than insurance, it's peace of mind. Send your questions for Sean to hisradioshow@gmail.com. And listen every Saturday morning at 7:30 here on Talk of Connecticut. If you're like me, you appreciate delicious food at reasonable prices. Hey, it's Gary Byron, and every Friday I head out to dinner at some of Connecticut's most delicious restaurants, from Abigail's Grill and Wine Bar in Simsbury to the fun atmosphere at Market Grill in Manchester, the Republic Gastro Pub in Bloomfield, and the romantic atmosphere of Mill on the River in South Windsor, quickly becoming one of my favorites. Any of these unforgettable locations is going to be perfect for any dining experience. Check them out online at millrestaurantgroup.com, and let's all meet up.
Make sure you like The Talk of Connecticut on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and stay up to date and connected with The Talk of Connecticut, FM 103.3 Hartford and 104.5 Litchfield.
24 minutes after the hour of 8, our guest is Senate Republican Leader Steve Harding, who is live right now in Milwaukee, home of the Republican National Convention. J.D. Vance, what a reception last night. I loved his speech. He's kind of a chill dude. He's got a personality. And one, wow, one interesting life story. How is he? Look, I can tell you sitting in my living room watching it on television, but he seemed to be very well received all throughout his speech last night. Would you say that's a fair assessment when as an attendee live there?
Yeah, absolutely. No, there was a lot of excitement around his speech last night. It was really positive, and it was extremely well received. And a lot of the tone and message leaving the building last night was how articulate he was, how well spoken he was, how comfortable he was, you know, making that. You know, this is the biggest speech he's ever made in his entire life. And he's 39 years old, standing there as a vice presidential nominee. And he came off there, you know, very relaxed and embracing the moment. I think he's just such a energetic, youthful addition to the ticket. And his background is just, as I'm sure you've discussed on the show, is just incredible. And grew up in abject poverty, joined the United States Marine Corps, went to Yale Law School. Had success in business, and now at 39 years old, is the with a young family at home, is the vice presidential nominee. It's
last night it's
the epitome of an American dream, frankly.
It really is. It really is. Gold Star family spoke to the RNC last night. Wow, what a powerful speech. These everyday people that they have coming up every night at the convention. It brings tears to the viewer. Do you get a sense of that emotion live on the floor there?
Yeah, that was if that didn't turn your emotions, if that didn't make you pause and fight back tears, I don't know what will. And you could feel it. I mean, there's kind of an energy there, you know, when people are making speeches, there's kind of movement along the convention hall, and people will go out and use the restroom, or they'll go off and try to take a walk around the convention hall to stretch their legs or something. So there's always kind of movement and action, even when people are making speeches. That was the one time, the entire time I've been here, where no one moved an inch.
Let me ask you about the energy.
The emotion was high.
I can only imagine what it's like there. I want to talk about the energy, though. How can we transfer that energy going on right now, this week in Milwaukee, into electing more Connecticut Republicans? Because I got to tell you, Connecticut is a different animal. There's 45 vacancies this year that Republicans are not challenging Democrats for. So how do we... It's probably maybe a better question for Ben Proto, but in your opinion, as the Senate Republican leader,
well, I think we have to get the message to the individual voters in all districts across the state, and I think that what you're seeing here in Milwaukee is an unbelievably positive message. And again, as we talked about at the beginning of the call, it's common sense. What the policies we believe in, and I think a lot of the policies that are being discussed here in Milwaukee this week. And if we can take the message and the platform here, that we're, or at least the discussion points here, and the positivity from here, and take that into knocking doors, making phone calls, donating, telling your neighbors to vote, making sure that they're voting for these great candidates that we have in the State House and State Senate, I have every reason to believe that we're going to be really successful this fall. And I'm every day I'm more and more positive. I was cautiously optimistic going into this election cycle, particularly in the state Senate, because our incumbents are incredible senators, and they deserve re-election, each and every single one of them. I am more confident than ever that we're going to be very successful
to that point,
our incumbents, and winning some challenge seats as well.
Well, I think as Republicans are uniting, Democrats are kind of splintering. By the way, really quick, because I got to wrap this up. Is security real tight where you are?
Yeah, I've never seen security like this in my life.
I bet.
You can't get it within 100 yards of the arena without going through multiple levels of security. So I've never seen it.
Good,
like this
good. I'm
for good
you.
Reason. For good reason.
Well, listen, enjoy the final night. We're all looking forward to Trump's nomination acceptance speech. And stay safe, and I'll look forward to when you come back.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
You got it, brother. Okay. Open phone.
A smarter way to start the day. Gary Byron and the Talk of Connecticut. Listen without a subscription on the Talk of Connecticut free listening app.
All right. It's down the hall and to the right. 9:37, 23 in front of 10 o'clock. It's Gary Byron. It is Joe, the producer. It is also Attorney General William Tong in here. Elizabeth as well. Communications director. Look at we got a whole crew in here.
Full house.
Yes. I'm going to buy him a little bit of time. Hey, folks, you know, when you think of heading to the jewelry store, I want you to think of one place and one place only. That would be Anderson Jewelers, located at 1015 Main Street in East Hartford. Listen, I know if you had to go to the jewelry store to get yourself something or maybe a gift for a loved one, the first place you think of is, I got to go to the mall. Why do you got to go to the mall? I got to go to the jewelry store. And I get it. There's like 8 or 10 jewelry stores all under one roof. If you don't see it at one, you'll find it at another. If you don't like the price there, go upstairs. You'll find it maybe for a lesser price. But still, you're going to pay mall prices. You got to understand something. When you go to Anderson Jewelers at 1015 Main Street in East Hartford, the family has owned the building for generations. It's long since paid off. It's family-run business. And quite frankly, it's the same clarity, the same quality, but it's not the same price. 1015 Main Street in East Hartford, Anderson Jewelers. It's where I get all my jewelry. All right, 860-243-1360. I want to head to open phones. Your office is scrutinizing the latest request by health insurance companies to raise rates by double digits again, right?
Yes.
So when is there a public hearing on this? We were getting questions a lot over the last week about
so,
this.
This is a source of great frustration. I have been calling for years for a full-blown administrative hearing on this that would be more like a court proceeding, more like a trial. It's technically called the Uniform Administrative Procedures Act, a UAPA hearing. And I've been told year after year no by the Department of Insurance. And so every year I make a big stink about it, and we get some opportunity to speak on it, but nothing approaching a full-blown court proceeding. So I'm asking for that always. And again, I think there'll be some kind of opportunity for me to be heard and others to be heard in mid to late August. But it's not enough.
All right. Earlier this morning, we had a guest live in the studio. Do you know Chris Healy from the Connecticut Catholic Conference? Yeah, because he was with the Senate when you and I both were in the
House.
And
he was state party chair, Republican state party chair for a long time.
For a long time, you're right.
For a long time.
He was talking about Title IX and what's coming out of the Biden administration. Yeah. And I want you to comment on it. The federal law that is guaranteeing rights for women athletes in high school and college. There's a new proposal by Biden to take effect on August 1st that will allow boys to play in girls' sports. There'll be no way any local high school or public college can prevent a transgender from participating in sports, taking scholarships, and potentially hurting physically overmatched girls.
That's
14,
just not true.
14 states, through their attorneys general, have gotten the regulation stopped temporarily.
That's just not true. It doesn't
are you
say,
for
it
this new rule?
It doesn't say boys. It's just not true. Look, here in Connecticut, okay, and I guess I understand why Chris Healy and others want to keep fighting these culture wars, but you know, at the end of the day, frankly, all they're doing, I think, is attacking students and kids and families. And I don't get it. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is in Connecticut, we defer to the sanctioning bodies. If you have a high school level league or a college level league, there are organizations, sanctioning bodies that determine what the rules are for athletes in their conference or their league. And I think they've done a really good job of that. At the end of the day, here in Connecticut, trans girls are girls, period, full stop. That's what the law says. And that's the way it is.
Even though they're not biological girls.
Trans girls are girls. That's what the law says, Gary.
Well, if the law says that the color of your shirt is yellow, but you and I know it's blue.
The law doesn't say that.
If it did, but then, then it's yellow.
The legislature made a determination. I think you were there. I was there. That we respect and honor the rights of all people, including people who are transgender. And the law says that trans girls are girls.
Oh, I disagree. 860-243-1360. Pete in Northford. Pete, you're on with Attorney General William Tong.
Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. Before I get to my question, regarding J.D. Vance and him at one time, you know, being a little disparaging about Donald Trump, you know, I think we have to remember that, you know, Kamala Harris called Joe Biden a racist during a nationally televised debate. So call it what you want. Politics or whatever, but I think it's a little hypocritical to point out that J.D. Vance was once an anti-Trumper. My question is this. At a 35% approval rating, what do you think, Mr. Tong, the Democrat Party must do to convince people that their policies are good for the country? And once Joe Biden falls out of the race and Kamala Harris runs, what policy changes do you see happening?
So let me just say, first of all, her name is Kamala Harris, and she's the Vice President of the United States. The second thing I want to say is she didn't accuse the president of being a racist. She said that she was a – I forget exactly how the question fell, but she said she was the black girl as a little girl on the receiving end, I think, of racism and hatred related to busing, I think, is what it was about. And that's what she's talking about. But she didn't accuse the president by any means of being a racist. Whereas J.D. Vance is on record as referring to President Trump as America's Hitler.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact.
He doesn't deny it.
You know, I'm not sure what you're talking about in terms of 35% approval. My approval is certainly not 35% here in Connecticut. And Democrats do very well here in Connecticut. You know, if you're talking about the president's personal approval rating, I don't know which poll you're talking about. But, of course, his numbers are under a lot of pressure. I don't deny that.
Do you join Jim Himes in asking the president to step aside?
Look, I'm focused on my job.
Let me
finish my thought. I'm focused on my job. And my job is to protect and defend the people of this state. And I'm preparing for whatever contingencies come our way, whether it's President Biden or President Trump. And I'm talking to my fellow attorneys general every single day about what the world's going to look like after November 5th. I honestly don't know what to think about where we are. I saw what everybody else saw in that debate, okay? And it's not great. So who can deny that? But I think we're having a robust conversation right now within the Democratic Party, and I think it'll get sorted out.
Would you like to see Biden remain?
I think the president has done an extraordinary job as president, and I think the only person, in my view, who's not qualified and has demonstrated himself to be unfit to be president is Donald Trump.
Oh, come on.
That's how I feel.
What has he done that would warrant that statement?
January 6th, inciting violence and an act of rebellion, an insurrectionist breaching of the United States Capitol, calling for alternative slates of electors that we don't have a peaceful transfer of power in this
the
country.
Same way that was misinterpreted, like Biden saying that there should be Trump should be in a bullseye, and then a day later an assassin takes his word literally. It's basically
you're not drawing a straight line from that.
Come on,
Gary.
Let's go to Jim in Naples, Florida. Gary. I'll go toe to toe with you, William. Let's go to Jim in Naples.
I've got two questions.
Naples, Florida, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, off the January 6th, you said the January 6th was real. Did you not see the videos of the guards allowing people in, opening doors, showing them, the people, the way to go when these insurrectionists were taking place? Did you see those videos?
Folks, I think what happened on January 6th, the U.S. Capitol wasn't just wrong. It was a tragedy for our nation, and the way that law enforcement, police officers were attacked, killed, murdered, and how people now don't stand up for police officers at our nation's capital, including the former president. It doesn't stand with those police officers is wrong.
You don't think the former that Trump stands with police officers?
No, he's criticized them. He's ridiculed them. He's calling for people that attack them to go free. Give me a break.
No.
Yes.
No. Go ahead. Do you have a follow-up question,
Jim? Call some heroes and patriots.
Mr. Tarn.
Go ahead.
Can you answer my question? Did you not see the videos of the guards letting people in, opening the doors, and showing them the way?
Sir, I don't think anybody let people in to the Capitol so they could desecrate the U.S. Congress. So no is the answer.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so my second question is this. We've talked about COVID, and you've labeled, we've had people dying because of the COVID vaccine, and you label this as misinformation because you follow the science. And I want to ask you, have you reviewed the VAERS database for adverse effects for people taking the vaccine?
Let me just say this.
You're not answering
what I know.
Oh, hold on, let him answer. It's a fair question. Give him a chance to answer the question.
I haven't reviewed whatever database you're referring to.
VAERS?
Have you reviewed it, Gary?
I've looked at it. I haven't looked at it this week or last week, but I've seen it.
Let me just tell you this. What I know and what the scientific consensus is that the COVID vaccine is effective in keeping us safe and healthy. And we lost more than 1 million people in this country during the COVID pandemic. People are still getting sick. The president now has COVID. The governor had it last week. And people are still at risk. And I think most people agree in Connecticut, I don't know how they feel in Florida, sir, but in Connecticut, that it's a good idea to take the vaccine, that it keeps people safe. I have a family and young kids. We've all taken the vaccine. We've all taken our boosters. I encourage everybody to follow the science and keep themselves safe and get vaccinated.
Thanks, Jim. Let's go to Frank in Watertown. Frank, good morning. You're on with the Attorney General, William Tong.
Okay. I have a question. As far as it goes, with the president having powers, and you're saying that you don't want him to have absolute powers. Our president was told by the Supreme Court that he couldn't give student loans out. But what he did was he went around what the Supreme Court said, didn't listen to him. It was handed down by the judicial department and gave student loans out again. Then he was shot down and he did it again. Isn't there some kind of resolution to what he did that should be held criminal because he defied the Supreme Court?
Well, no. I mean, the president exercised. It's interesting that you say that now, because given what the Supreme Court just said, there can be no criminal prosecution against President Biden for his actions with respect to student loans to the extent that you think they're illegal, because apparently, according to the Supreme Court, he's absolutely immune.
You there?
The goose is good for the gander in this situation.
I guess so.
And a Democrat president actually defied the Supreme Court. If Trump had did that, he probably would try to impeach him.
Look, for a long time, there has been tension between the executive branch and the Supreme Court. That is nothing new. And presidents and elected officials for a long time have done things that the Supreme Court has not agreed with. But by and large, presidents have obeyed and honored the rule of law and our democratic institutions and have followed the command of the Supreme Court. There are, of course, high-profile examples like President Lincoln suspending habeas corpus. But at the end of the day, most of the time and in the breach, presidents and elected officials honor what the courts instruct them to do and their interpretations of the law. That's what it means to have the rule of law in this country.
Frank, thank you for the phone call. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take one more call here. We got to take another break, and then we'll come back and wrap it up with maybe one or two more calls.
Good.
All right, let's go to Greg in Plainville. Greg, good morning. You're on with Attorney General William Tong.
Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning, sir. Appreciate your service.
Sure,
appreciate
you.
Your guys' banter. It's refreshing to hear in the morning. Wonder if the Attorney General, sir, has looked at the Kansas AG's suit against Pfizer, which is about a month old, and that's a very readable and interesting document. and what your thoughts might be about it.
I'm sorry that I haven't. I mean, I haven't read his lawsuit about Pfizer. But let me say this, and I appreciate you saying that our discussion is refreshing. But what you might also find refreshing is that Kris Kobach and I, Chris is the Attorney General of Kansas, and, you know, by many partisan Democrats' reckoning, Kris Kobach's a pretty extreme guy. And
I'm not familiar with him.
On the total opposite end of me politically. Mm-hmm. And frankly, some would say that he lost a race for governor in Kansas because he was even too extreme for Kansas. But then he ran for attorney general and won a tight one and is now the attorney general. And Chris and I are pretty tight. And we do a lot of work together. He actually also went to Yale Law School.
Oh, nice.
Like a lot of these guys, which is an interesting phenomenon, like J.D. Vance and Josh Hawley and others. Mm-hmm. But Chris and I do a lot of important work together. And we do a lot of important work together, you know, on the opioid and addiction crisis. We do a lot of important work together against the social media companies. And so I don't know what his Pfizer case is about. I suspect we probably don't agree about that. But we do a lot of really important work otherwise on a bipartisan basis.
All right. Greg.
Yeah, I'm talking about the case on the merits. I don't know if you can hear me, but they're talking about misleading statements and deceiving the public about its capabilities, which, I think are interesting things. I don't know about the man personally, but,
yeah.
I think there's some very interesting and readable points that are made, and that I'd be interested in.
We will take a look at it. I just haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Greg, I appreciate the phone call, as I always do. All right, we got to take a short break here. We'll come right back. More with Attorney General William Tong and your phone calls right after this.
Hi, this is Nick Kaplinson. At Dime Bank, we're all about community. It's who we are and who we've been for over 150 years. A community made up of customers, families, and friends. Of local business owners invested in helping communities thrive. Of employees committed to giving back beyond banking. If you're looking for a banking relationship that means a little more, come join our community at Dime. It's your choice. Your bank, your Dime.
Dime Bank. Community banking lives here. Member FDIC.
If you're like me, you appreciate delicious food at reasonable prices. Hey, it's Gary Byron, and every Friday I head out to dinner at some of Connecticut's most delicious restaurants. From Abigail's Grill and Wine Bar in Simsbury to the fun atmosphere at Market Grill in Manchester, the Republic Gastro Pub in Bloomfield, and the romantic atmosphere of Mill on the River in South Windsor, quickly becoming one of my favorites. Any of these unforgettable locations is going to be perfect for any dining experience. Check them out online at millrestaurantgroup.com. And let's all meet up.
Steven here from Lenses Only. Do you love your current eyeglasses but need new lenses? We will provide the finest quality lenses for 50% less than other optical centers.
Lenses Only, where lenses are always on sale.
When shopping for appliances, Ferraris will be the only stop you'll need to make. Summer's here, and it's time to get your new grill or air conditioner. Ferrari's Appliance has all the big-name brands, including Weber and Napoleon Grills, at the price you can afford. And they install and service everything they sell. Enough with the pushy salespeople and impersonal customer service at those big box stores. Head to Ferrari's Appliance in Newington or Naugatuck and discover why people from all over choose them over everyone else. Online at ferrarisappliance.com.
A successful retirement doesn't just happen. It requires a plan that's custom-built to suit everyone's individual financial situation. Every Sunday at noon, we share vital information on how to build and live a successful retirement. It's Financial Safari with Jay Durso. Retirement strategies on building income and the proper protection from the pitfalls. And the latest news in the retirement universe. Financial Safari, Sunday at noon. On WDRC, the Talk of Connecticut.
Make sure you like The Talk of Connecticut on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And stay up to date and connected with The Talk of Connecticut. FM 103.3 Hartford and 104.5 Litchfield.
All right, it is 4 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. Attorney General William Tong in the house, live in studio for the full hour, taking your questions. Let's go back to open phones. Mark in Windsor, you are on with Attorney General William Tong.
Hey, good morning to all the men and women listeners out here. First, secondly, I grew up in Connecticut, born and raised a Democrat, and it eventually evolved. And I watched a lot of your campaign during your first campaign, and it seemed like a lot of your campaign was about criticizing President Trump at the time and how you were going to contest his administration. Secondly, I'd encourage you to do a lot more research into the VAERS database and look at the COVID shots and look at the history of how this, the CDC changed the standard or definition of what a vaccine is and lowered it to allow for the COVID shots, because they're not vaccines. And it's just to me reckless and unfair to
in other words, the same protocols that were instituted for years and years and years and years of what makes a vaccination, this was more or less pushed through the system to accommodate. Okay.
I think people should always ask questions, and I don't begrudge anybody asking hard questions and challenging the science, and then at the end of the day, making a decision for themselves and their own bodies and their own health care. But I think we're well past the point of questioning whether it made sense during a raging global pandemic to develop a vaccine as fast as we possibly could. And President Trump, by the way, takes credit for that, okay? Project Lightspeed or whatever it was called, right? And for getting as many people inoculated as possible. And I think it's reckless now to say that we shouldn't do that or that was a mistake. We had to save lives. A million people died. A million. Mm. More than 10,000 in this state.
How many people died as a result from the vaccination?
Oh, come on. A million people died from COVID, Gary. There's no demonstration of any widespread
I'm not
adverse...
denying that people died from COVID.
There's no scientific proof. I'm not a scientist. You're not a scientist.
No, but there's been a lot of blood clots and mysterious deaths with young athletic individuals.
There's a lot of mysterious blood clots and unexplained deaths generally in the world, period.
I got to wrap this up. You know, I could go on for another hour with you.
We could stay here all day, but are you going to fire up the grill outside if we do
Was it raining when you came in?
I got to eat. No.
Well, maybe we will fire it up. Sounds good to me. You're going to come to my listener luncheon tomorrow.
When is that?
Mill on the River in
tomorrow.
South Windsor tomorrow.
Yeah. You didn't tell me about this.
Well, come on. You know,
I can't do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Likely story. Speaking of tomorrow, you got to be really quick.
Tomorrow, Amy Board in the 7 o'clock hour, Michael Goldstein in the 8 o'clock hour, Frank Tavera in the 8:50, and Ryan Matthews, the...
The listener.
You're the superintendent.
Backbone of the show. You get every hour on the half hour. We go live Monday through Friday mornings with Gary Byron, 6 till 10. Until then, take very good care of yourself, my friends. You couldn't do it for a better person. Have a good one, everybody!
WDRC, W277DT, WDRC FM HD3, Hartford, WSNG.